Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. We are in the last month of 2008. Many things have happened that we were certainly not expecting. We were surprised by this election cycle, seeing a contest that has never before been seen in American politics. We were surprised by economic events that continue to be trying for many of us. Have you been wondering about God and his plans during these tumultuous times? What does our Heavenly Father have in store for us? The answer is found in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 15. Here's what St. Peter writes with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But beloved, that's Christians Peter is writing to, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, that is, God is patient with us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Well, let's take a closer look at these verses. Peter's first point, don't put God in your box. Our Heavenly Father is not like us. He is outside of time and space. He is not bound by the dimensions that you and I are constrained by. Time is not significant for God. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You and I are always looking at our calendar or at our watches. God's not like that. He doesn't need to own a watch, because yesterday and today and tomorrow are all the same to him. We would say, God looks at the big picture. He takes his time with humankind because God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God has hope for us, even when we have no hope in ourselves. This does not mean that God's time perspective is boundless. There is coming a time when God's patience is done, when your time is up, so to speak. Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That is, God's patience may be infinite on one level, but his persistence does require resolution. Time as we know it will end. When that event comes, the universe as we know it will be altered in ways that we cannot fathom. But when all is said and done, what now is will become something totally new. We will not recognize the new heavens and the new earth promised in the Bible, but you and I will be who we are. Peter poses a real question that comes to the forefront of God's changes in the universe. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That is, if the changes are definitely in the works, how should you and I be adjusting our lives to anticipate God's changes? Of course, the bottom line is that you and I can do nothing in terms of altering God's timeline for end events, because the end events have been predetermined. Remember, God rests outside of time and sees the beginning and the end of existence at the same time. You and I can be assured that the heavens will be dissolved and the elements will indeed melt with fervent heat. If the end is sure, and if we recognize that the Lord Jesus has reconciled us to our Heavenly Father through his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, how does knowing the end of life story change anything for us? Well, we know what to look forward to. Peter explains, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Knowing God's plan for the earth does not change things. Understanding how Jesus Christ changed our outcome in God's eyes does change things. You and I have something to look forward to. We have assurance. You see, we know for sure that God has intervened in human life to save us. We know from the Bible that there was a time when God and mankind were in a personal relationship. It was a time before there was sin and separation in the world. Indeed, the whole universe was a different place at that time. Our enemy, we call him Lucifer or Satan, entered our first home on the earth, a place called the Garden of Eden. When mankind lived there, mankind and God would interact and enjoy one another's company. Yes, God and mankind would walk in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. Satan had another agenda. He brought sin into the world to our first parents, Adam and Eve. He presented sin in terms that you and I would desire our hearts more than our relationship with God. When Adam and Eve bit that apple of personal desires, they initiated a separation of mankind from God that persisted until Calvary. We lost the Garden of Eden. We lost eternal life because the wages of sin is death, and we had to pay the price. Our Heavenly Father continued to love us, and even though we lost Eden, God promised that He would redeem us through a new Adam, a new human being, who would pay the price of sin once and for all. That new Adam was Jesus Christ. Just like God was the father of Adam, guess who was the father of Jesus Christ? The Son of God and the Son of Man paid the price for all of mankind. Peter explains in today's lesson that God will now bring things to a conclusion because of Jesus Christ. Peter writes, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him, by Jesus Christ, the one who paid for our sin, be diligent to be found in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." That is, Jesus Christ paid the price of salvation and redemption at the exact right time in order to accomplish the restoration of the whole universe and us in God's new creation. Wow! As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. We begin the church year with the season of Advent, where we focus on looking ahead to the coming of Jesus, of course, comes at Christmas. On Wednesday each week before Christmas in December, we gather at 7 p.m. for Advent Vespers. It is a time for remembering God's preparations and bringing our Savior to us. We join together for a soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. and then move to the sanctuary for this brief service. Why not consider a sandwich and sermon supper during Advent with us on Wednesdays? Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Charala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul Lutheran Public School in Charala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.